Welcome to the Metaphysical Martini Show, where wit and wisdom come together to bridge the gap between the spirit realm and the physical world.
With Ani Avedisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Ani Avedisian. Welcome to Metaphysical Martini. Three parts spirit, one part rational mind. Add two drops of optimism. Give it all a good hard shake and pour. Dress it with the olives of grace and empathy. Sit back, sip slowly, and contemplate the wonder of cosmic co-creation. And a hearty hello to everyone out there. Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for joining this crazy old lady for yet another round of cocktails on this week's Metaphysical Martini, the show that tries to sort out what's true, da 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 da, what's woo, da 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 da, and what gets flushed down the loo. In a world where information is so often misconstrued, the peeps are often confused, deluded, and rude, because no one knows what the heck is going on. We are experiencing the great reveal. And for that one, I believe we need nerves of steel. Because, darlings, America's pot has been stirred, and we the people have been given the bird, and we don't like that very much. And in Europe, my gosh, we see mass insurrection, because the globalist agendas in that part of the world have created serious disaffection. And any day now, just wait for it, the sluice gates will open and those who did evil will be hanging and choking. And, you know, if that sounds rather nasty, I think that attempting to depopulate the world with a bioweapon posing as a vaccine and generally stealing everyone's tax money is a lot nastier than wishing for people to be punished according to their crimes, because that is the way that it must be done to end the devil and his mischievous fun. But here's the question that will always cause a schism. When exactly will we reveal the dirt on global Zionism? Do you ever ask yourselves, my darlings, why it is against the law to question the Jewish Holocaust, the Second World War? But nobody seems to care whether you question the numbers or the validity or any other part of any other genocide. What do you think that means, ladies and gentlemen? I think there's something rather shady going on in that part of the Middle East. And very soon, because I'm pretty sure Daddy T has left Israel till last, we will know the difference between the real Jews and the Khazarians, who took over Judaism and did very, very bad things with it. Welcome back, Martini heads. I see you all out there somewhere. You know, it's lovely to be with you once again. I really look forward to this time every other Wednesday so that we can all be tribe again. We can connect from all over America, all of us in little towns, disenfranchised, surrounded by liberals or whatever. This is a lovely time for us to get back together again. Now, if you're joining us for the first time, a very, very warm welcome to you. I raise my glass to you and I shall take a little sippy poo of my drinky poo. Lovely. If indeed, oh, that is just lovely. Oh, yum. If you're joining us for the first time, a very warm welcome to you. Please be advised, this show is politically incorrect so as not to erode the intellect. You see, we martini heads, we're very simple folk. Very simple. We believe in common sense. We believe in common courtesy. We believe in common decency. We do come from all walks of life. You know, some of us are ex-Democrats, some of us are lifelong libertarians, some of us have always been Republicans, some of us are very confused and call ourselves independent, and all of that. But we do share common values, namely America. We believe America has a sacred purpose, and that sacred purpose is to lead the world away from evil and back into sanity. We believe we are ascending into a higher dimension, a higher dimension of thought, a higher frequency of being. You know, that new golden age of self-realization, prosperity, dare I say, dignity, an understanding of personal sovereignty, upon, by the way, upon which all else is built. We're moving away from the central control mechanisms that Marxists and communists and other idiots, would have us engage in. We're moving away from the central mechanism of control, you know, the deep state ideology, that whole globalism, which has only one purpose. Come on, I know you've figured it out by now, to destroy any semblance of sovereignty and to install a totalitarian regime, the new world order, one world government, a small handful of masters and a whole bunch of slaves, which will start off as organic beings as we are, but then they will be transhumanized and then post-humanized. And then this planet will just be the Hamptons. For anybody who's not in America, it's where rich people go to the beach. This will be the Hamptons of this universe. But we're not going to let that happen because martini heads drink enough cocktails to know that this is not the good way to go. Cocktails in hand, we shall march forth into glory and we shall right the wrongs all the way from America, all the way to Hong Kong, because that's what we're all about. We won't allow it to happen. We support President Trump and his team of dedicated patriots, and we commend them for taking the long and winding road to the restoration of the Republic. My fellow Americans, there is so much you don't know about your country. There is so much you don't know. You take it all for granted. You were given this country, this beautiful country, based on sovereignty. They weren't joking when they said the land of the free and the home of the brave. I mean, yeah, I'm not naive. I do get that the American landowners, the Franklins and the founding fathers, framers and all that lot, would much rather taxes were paid to them and not to the crown. But that really wasn't what it was all about. There's something about our Constitution that is a moral compass. There's something about America that will guide the world into what I call secular spirituality, not the dictionary definition of it. But what I call secular spirituality is an understanding that there is some cosmic supreme intelligence out there. You can call it what you want, but it's ever expanding, it's ever evolving. And we are part of it, and we never want to lose part of that glory. But we bypass religion completely because it's bullshit. And you can tell it's bullshit because of what's happening right now. No, we do support the Trump agenda. It's our agenda. Trump didn't create MAGA or America First. We created it. And that's why Trump was called in to figurehead it. It would have been so much easier, in my opinion, in 2020, if we had a coup, a military coup, because the election was stolen. I don't think there's any doubt about that, unless you're in denial and you have your head up your ass. I thought, let's have the military coup. And then we can explain it to the people, you see. We can explain them, mansplain them. But you know what? That wouldn't have gone well. And it wouldn't have gone well in no small part to the great ignorance of the general public with regard to who runs the world, why it is run, and by whom, and all of that. I just will have to take a moment to say kudos to the perceptual engineers who wove their black magic on mankind through the legacy media and all of this, these billboards and anything that you want to call advertising, legacy news, mainstream news. You know, I too was once a part of that perceptual engineering racket. The British government hired many intuitives back in the day, along with mathematicians, clinical psychologists, and anybody that they thought they could recruit to promote one world government and make it sound like it was just going to be the best thing since sliced bread. So I never did buy into it. I did go into it knowing full well I was going to learn everything I needed to learn so that I could come out on the other side, if indeed I did come out on the other side, and help fight this madness, because I knew it wouldn't be an easy battle. But on the other hand, I can't help saying, well done, Arnie, and all the people who worked as perceptual engineers, you know, for the deep state ideology there in the City of London, because kudos to us, we did a fabulous job. We messed with people's heads bigly. And that is evidenced definitely in the last decade by, you know, so many free thinkers looking upon public reaction with horror, going, what the heck are you people up to? That was a terrible little Chinese movie of people pretending to get sick and falling over. And now you're lining up in a car park, rolling up your sleeves so that some nurse who is probably indoctrinated, otherwise she would be a murderer if she knew exactly what she was doing, or he, is going to roll up in your car, roll up your arm, and have someone stick something in you. Do you not think that it takes years to develop a vaccine? How could they have come up with this so soon? Hindsight is 2020. And for those of you who are still alive, I hope you remain alive. You know, it was horrible watching you all do that, thinking, oh my God, yes, we did weave black magic spells. We did all that. But we honestly thought that humans wouldn't buy it to the extent that they did. Interesting stuff. Moving on, because I don't want to pontificate too much, I'm going to have a little sip of my drinky poo. I'm going to have a good sip. Hang on. Sipping is happening. Don't go away. That's actually quite yummy, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, if there's any of it left, towards the end of the show. And talking about the show, what do we have on today's show for you? Let's see. We have a backlog of questions. So, you know, from you, the people, or you, the people. So I thought it would be best to devote most of the show to quack. Questions, answers, and comments. So that'll be most of the show, because I really want to empty out the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. But I will throw in a silly poem, one of my older ones, and one that gets requested quite often, but I've only publicly spoken it once. And, you know, other than that, I think we're just going to chill, have a really good time. After all, Metaphysical Martini is the place where the Holy Spirit, amen, and we do love you, God, whatever anyone calls you. This is the place where the Holy Spirit meets distilled spirits, top shelf distilled spirits. And we think that is a lovely combination. So here we are. Another sip of that excellent drink. But I think we'll just move on to quack. Darlings, if you would like to share the nuggets of amazingness in your noggins with martini heads across the globe, and it would be across the globe because flat earth theory is bullshit, then send your emails to me, Arnie@arnieavedisian.com. Or if you want to send me a little postcard, I do enjoy those, send the postcard to Cosmic Arnie, P.O. Box 714, Wilsonville, Oregon 97070. USA, and don't forget to let me know if and how you wish to be identified. Otherwise, I'm going to refer to you as omit personal details, which, you know, it's kind of boring. Anyway, but I will respect it if you don't want, you don't have to identify yourself if you don't want to. It is a free country. So let's get on with it. Let us shake up the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity, which for those of you who are watching this on video, it is plastic, because the glass one, the intricate, beautiful, handmade glass one, I dropped it and it broke because I'm a clumsy little woman. So we're going to do the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. It's going to be plastic from now on. Shaky, shaky. And let's just pick up random and see what is in there. And I will do my best to answer these questions, because that's my job, you see, darlings. That's my job, is to answer these questions. All right, here we go. Oh, my gosh, yes. I think I remember this. This is from a chap called Fig Newton. Fig Newton. Yeah, I know, just like the biscuit or the cookie, as we say here in America. Fig Newton has written in before, many times. But I can't always use his material, because for many reasons, really. But this letter actually makes some sense. Well done, Fig, for finally figuring out how to use the English language. I knew you had it in you somewhere, darling, in that softer, figgy little filling of yours. It's wonderful. So here's Fig's question. Hey, Arnie, do you believe in the evil eye? I have a friend from Turkey who has them all over his home, one in each room for protection, and he wears a small one around his neck, and they are all blue. Why are they all blue? But they are all blue. What do you think about this, Ani? And then he goes on to tell me a lot of things that are absolutely no interest to anyone except Fig. I'm interested, Fig. I'm interested. I'm just not going to share it. Fig, my man, I am not a superstitious woman. You know, I do rituals and all of that because, after all, I am a fully trained shaman. But I don't really buy into all this, the power of the inanimate object and all of this. So I don't believe that a small piece of fashioned glass, you know, made to look like an eye, is going to protect me from anyone or anything just because I hang it around my neck or I have it in my house, because that's really silly. I mean, if anything, it's a focal point to remind you that the eye of God is watching you, not in a supervisory capacity, but in a brotherly, fatherly capacity, perhaps. I don't know. I mean, if people want to use such things, if it helps them, then of course they're more than welcome. I'm just not sure why you would do that. But you're welcome to do that. Why do you need protection? If you absolutely believe that you are a divine being, a manifestation of supreme cosmic intelligence. I mean, I understand we're not all yet fully self-realized and walking on water and turning water into wine. Wouldn't that be a bloody marvelous thing, by the way, to actually turn water into wine? I'd go for it. I'd sign up for that class in a heartbeat. But, you know, I understand we're not all fully self-realized, but by now, we do need to understand that there is no in-between. You either believe you are part of God and therefore eternal, magnificent, and unlimited, or you don't. Everything in between is just your ego distracting you. Now, you also ask me, Fig, why are they blue? Because back in the day, especially in the Near East, back way back when, before I was born, people in the Near East assumed that people with blue eyes were seers, people with powers that could break spells, especially. And that's why all of the eyes of the evil eye are blue. That's just a cultural thing. You know, the evil eye, you know, I don't sound like it, but my race ancestry is Armenian. I grew up in England, obviously. I'm an American citizen now, blah, blah, blah. But I grew up in a family of Armenians from the island of Cyprus, where they speak Greek and where they also speak Turkish. And so I grew up in this Armenian, Greek, Turkish cultural melange of things. And as a child, I saw these everywhere. In fact, I think when I was first born, they put an evil eye on me. It's just one of those things that they do. But I never believed it. I never believed in it. I always thought it was rather silly. You know, if you're a Near Eastern practitioner of magic, you will use the eye in many of your rituals, along with herbs and incense and all that good stuff. You know, this thing that we call witchcraft, spell crafting, being the wise person. That's universal. Every culture has its own version of the cunning folk, don't they? And we still have cunning folk in America, in Appalachia. And that is one part of America I want to, you know, get myself a nice SUV. And I want to travel and gather a lot of folklore from what's left of the cunning folk in Appalachia. So Fig, that's a lot more than you wanted from me. But I'm here, you see, to overachieve. That's my job. So thanks for the question. I don't think it's harmful. I just think it's silly, but it's a lovely decoration, and you could use it as a focal point to remind you that the eye of God is everywhere and all is well. So there we are. I'm not against it or for it, but I have outgrown it. So we'll put that over there. And thank you, Fig. And I think that was a good answer, so that deserves a little sip. I've been experimenting with different vermouths lately. There is a world of difference in the flavor profiles, but more about that later. Let's keep going through the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity, and let's see what else is in there. I am determined to empty out the fishbowl today, so we can fill it again another day. Let's see what's here. Okay, let's do this. This is from Triana. Hello, darling. Ani, why does Trump want to buy Greenland? And why does it refer to Canada as the 51st state? Should we expect him now to go and try to plant the American flag all over the world? No, I don't. I don't think anyone wants Canada as part of the USA. Actually, if you really look into it, if you really go down the rabbit hole, it might actually be a part of the USA, but that's a little bit deeper digging than I have time for today. I would say, honestly, Trump is simply trying to point out that America heavily subsidizes the world. And the world is beginning to find that out, by the way. So, you know, Canada is included in that. He doesn't, you know, Trump doesn't want to do that anymore. Why should we subsidize the whole world and then just have them hate us and rag on us? What else have we written here? You know, if these countries can't survive without money stolen from American taxpayers, are they sovereign states? When they ask Benjamin Franklin, what have you given us? You know, 1776 circa, you know, era. He says, well, madam, I've given you a republic if you can keep it. Does any country have an obligation to protect another country? I mean, an obligation that is not pre-written? You know, if you're going to declare yourself a sovereign republic, you had better be able to defend it with or without allies. So I maintain these countries, if they can't survive without American money, stolen from people like me, the American taxpayer, you know, then they're not sovereign states. I think that they're not sovereign states. So what happens when we cut them off? Will they collapse and die? Maybe. Because, you know, if so, the only reason they exist is because of American money. And if that's the case, then shouldn't they be under American rule? And we don't really want them under American rule, so they can jolly well sort it out, or they can cease to exist. I think the world's had a really good free run off the money collected from the American taxpayer, and it's time to end it all. You know, Doge, God bless Doge. Doge is finding all this blatant theft of my tax money. It's finding that it has affected policy all across the globe. Our money funded 1,000,001 useless causes, all in the name of kickbacks to members of Congress and their families. And don't say, oh, no, no, no. When you really look at those figures, how many of those NGOs were feeding back to left-wing families? Now, Greenland. Not the greenest land in the world, if you've ever been there. There's a lot of it that isn't green. We have to think about all the things hidden both in the North and the South Poles, I think, to understand what Trump is trying to do there. The shelf, the ice shelf, what's hidden under there, up top. I know that things are hidden there. I know that there are things of tremendous importance. I know there are extraterrestrial craft there. So much will be revealed in the years to come, my darlings. And after we have revealed all the corruption of the Luciferian agenda, comes round two, which will be when everybody's taken a deep breath and going, oh my God, everything I have ever been told about anything is a lie. And it is. I think Doge is the biggest part of revealing that, that it's money. I'm going to say this again. It's money stolen from American taxpayers and taken out of the money initially to destroy the infrastructure of the nation. And then a portion of that, a large portion of that, is fed back to Democrat-run organizations, NGOs, basically family businesses, who are just collecting all this money and really doing F all for it. I think having a strong military presence in Greenland is important because, you know, China has ships there. Canada, too, actually, is a good idea, because when the extraterrestrial revelations come, you're all going to see how this makes sense. That's why we have Space Force. Everyone laughed when Trump came up with Space Force. Everyone laughed about a whole lot of things back in 2016. Turns out they were all shitting their pants. They were laughing because they were nervous. because they knew that eventually they'd all be caught out. But the whole Space Force thing, I can guarantee you, within a decade, we will see extraterrestrial cultural centers open on this planet. And I'll also mention the Panama Canal in that, because I remember my friends from Panama, whom I love and always will, saying, oh, we'll never do that. You did it. You did it. You caved in under 24 hours, for God's sake. Come on. This is America you're dealing with. The big daddy of the world who funds everyone. If we don't fund you, you fail. That's really what it comes down to. Panama Canal was paid for by the US, and it's imperative we have control of it, because Israel is hell-bent on World War III. And it's also hell-bent on digging up its own canal, by the way. And that would be a disaster on so many levels, my darlings. The Zionists, yep, I've said it before, I'll say it again, they're going to have to be the last to be dealt with. Once we clear all of the add-ons and the trash first, you know, and then we hit the main boss. We have so much work ahead of us as we clean up the world, which is saturated with deep state Illuminati filth down to the subatomic level, almost, certainly down to the subsoil. Yeah. Peeps, I'm glad you're all awake and aware, because your friends who are not awake and aware, ooh, have a care. They're going to crash. I also do want you to know one other thing, folks. These days when I make a drink, I make it weaker than it normally should be, and I add a lot of club soda to it. And the reason I do that, you don't have to do that, but I do that because I was fat, and I'm now no longer fat, and I want to keep it that way. Let's see what else is in the fishbowl of perpetual perplexity. Shaken, shaken, and bacon, bacon. Let's see what we got here. This is from Arlen, A-R-L-E-N, from Madison, Wisconsin, who asks, Dear Ani, I need a spiritual path, something to get me back on track after 2 years abroad, working my butt off and getting nothing but some money for it. Do you think the Course in Miracles is worth the time to study? You have asked the right person. Arlen, here are my thoughts on spiritual paths and also on A Course in Miracles. And let me apologize to anyone who's listening to this for the gardener, whose name is Jesus, who is outside my window right now with his assault leaf blower AK-47 model making a lot of noise. And I hope that he goes away very, very quickly. Moving on, Arlen, darling, does it really matter what path you follow, do you think? I don't think it does, as long as you realize that everything that Fs you up is part of ego programming. I cannot stress this enough. This is the problem of the entire world, you know, ego programming. Once this is understood, and it can take anything from 2 minutes to 10 years to an entire lifetime to God knows what to understand these things. But once you understand what the ego is and how it can affect you and how it can work in your favor or against you, then spiritual path isn't needed anymore, because you don't have any distractions from alignment with your divine intuition, with all that is. You will make your own path then, and you will follow your own trail. All we need to know, in my never humble opinion, is this. We are part of cosmic intelligence, and that is so very grand, and that is so ever expanding and ever learning and ever yearning, and we're always yearning for more experience. We were created to create. It is so massive and magnificent, this life, this continuation of cosmic consciousness. We currently have no vocabulary to adequately describe it. And this is because we're not at a level to actually appreciate the magnificence of what we really are. Our full potential, you know, it can't be understood at this time, let alone described. So, A Course in Miracles. I studied it for many years. I really did. And I taught it for 2 years. And I cannot deny it is a good program. But it's not for everyone. It is unnecessarily verbose and long-winded. It really is. Some may need that to take their time sorting through their issues, inherited or cultivated. It does tend to resonate more with people who are religious, especially Christians, because there's a lot of Christ-like language in it that gives people not only a sense of the awe and the glory of God, but also gives them a great deal of comfort. I'm not one of those people. I consider religion to be a cultural hallucination. No disrespect. It's just how I feel, and I'm entitled to that. I think of it as a cultural hallucination, a delusion of indoctrination, if you will. Because quite simply, religion is a human construct, but humans are a cosmic divine construct. Look at the world today. And all we're seeing is another episode of Christians and Moors fighting it out, while the guys at the top just laugh their bloody heads off, because they don't believe in God. They worship Lucifer. I mean, look at what the Khazarians did to Judaism. Now Jews get all the bad rap for all the things that the Khazarians did, because they are the Zionists. This ridiculous notion that we all worship the same God, but we have to smack each other to death because we disagree on what that means. How stupid is that? And to the people buying into it, were you born this stupid, or was it something you cultivated over time? A Course in Miracles does make you slow down. I'll give it that. It makes you slow down and ask yourself, what the heck is this book about? Because there's a lot of good content in it, but it does go on a bit. You know, in a world of instant gratification, it's useful to slow down. It teaches us to slow down and actually ponder an idea in slow form. Perhaps get back to the wonderful ritual of sacred reading, reading something, trying to understand it, and then putting it into your modern day colloquial language. I personally don't like the middleman approach of A Course in Miracles, because it is very much written from the point of view of a higher being connecting you with God. And that's my problem with all of this religion stuff. As an Armenian, I don't buy from the retailer. I buy direct from the manufacturer, not because I'm cheap, I'm not, but I am thrifty and I'm very sensible with all of the money that I really have. You know, religion is a middleman, and I will speak out against that always in favor of a personal and direct and intimate relationship with whatever it is that you want to call cosmic consciousness. I suggest going to your library and checking out A Course in Miracles and reading it and seeing if it's worth the investment of time and money to buy the book. And you will need about 2 to 3 years to really sort it out. Alternatively, what you could do, Arlen from Madison, Wisconsin, is join my Ego Busters group. Go to my website and go to the Ego Busters site. I think you'll do a lot better there than that book. All right, moving on. And anyone who's doing A Course in Miracles and it's working for you, fantastic. It was designed to work for you. Not everybody is at that same place. Let's take another thingy from the fishbowl. And this is from Omit Personal Details. And Omit says, if I want to learn about American civics and government stuff, but have limited reading time, where should I start? Recommendations, please, Ani. Omit, darling, if you have zero knowledge on the subject, then I recommend you get yourself some school textbooks on American Constitution and citizenry, if you can find them. I have them. I will never give them away. I have been offered big money for them, but I'm sitting on them. I would get those. I'll never give them away, because even though they were used to teach 12, 13, 14, 15-year-olds, we now have to explain to fully grown adults American basic civics, history, and constitution. Now, Omit, if you want to start at entry level but without school books, I recommend something like the U.S. Constitution for Dummies. Don't knock it. Don't mock it. The Dummies are wonderful books for a good, thorough introduction to any subject. Please don't dismiss them. I love them because they taught me how to take an 8-hour presentation and turn it into a 90-minute amuse-bouche. It doesn't matter what the subject is. I think my very first one was like plumbing for dummies. But, you know, you get what I'm saying. Also, I'll give you an adult book that you can look up, and I would buy this one, The Practical Guide to the United States Constitution by one Tom McHale. It's an excellent primer. It's easy to read. Tom knows his stuff, and he has a lovely sense of humor, which I very much enjoy. So The Practical Guide to the United States Constitution by Tom McHale, you see. And there is one other I think I will recommend to you. And again, it's entry level, but every American should have this one. It's called the Know Your Bill of Rights book. The Know Your Bill of Rights book. Don't lose your constitutional rights, learn them. It's a long title, but it's by one Sean Patrick. That's a must have. So I'll repeat that. Know Your Bill of Rights, Don't Lose Your Constitutional Rights, Learn Them by Sean Patrick is a must have. All Americans, we should be able to rattle these off. And if someone says to us, what's the Second Amendment? What's the Fourth? What's the 14th? What's the 29th? Well, oh, there isn't. You need to be able to know all of these, at least in plot marker form. You need to know the plot markers for all of these. So there you are. And thank you for writing in. And may the ghost of John Henry ever be with you. Thank you, Omid, and God bless America. Moving on, I'm getting a little dry. Let me have a little sippy poo of the drinky poo. I may not finish this one because I keep topping it up with club soda because I'm a little obsessive about not putting on weight. All right, moving on. Where's my little fish bowl? Here it is. Let's take another one and let's see where we go from there. Oh, yes. Oh, this is fun. Let's take a look at this. I remember this. This is from Lorraine, who lives in New Jersey, to everyone else. And she says, Dear Ani, I had the strangest dream about you. Ooh, did you, darling? You were singing the battle hymn of the Republic in front of thousands of people, none of whom looked completely human. And you had changed the words, not all of them, but most. And it was well received, and people were laughing. But I woke up before you sang the last verse. I have never dreamt about you before, lucky you. So I was surprised, and I thought to myself, I should tell her in case she wants to write a new set of lyrics to it. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, say no more. And Lorraine very kindly sent me the lyrics to the original version, which is by Julia Ward Howe, and she wrote that in 1862. And I do remember this song as a young schoolgirl in England, because there's a line in it that says, there's the glory in his bosom. And when you're like 12 years old, any song that has the word bosom in it is fantastic. Also at that time, I had just been introduced to Bonanza, you know, the Ponderosa Farm, that old black and white cowboy thing. And all the girls fell in love with Hoss. He was the big meaty one. He wasn't the other little pretty people. Women of my generation prefer their men to look like men, not like women. Yeah, but that's a whole other matter. But Hoss, we always thought, would make a great husband because he was a cowboy and he knew how to shoot and he knew how to get food for you and everything. But he was gentle. We thought, you know, Hoss. So I remember this. This is bringing amazing memories back to me. And I know that Lorraine is challenging me here to change some of these words. Oh, dear, I'm on the spot again. Such pressure. Let me clean my glasses. I think I can do this. Hold on. Let's see. She's got the actual lyrics in front of me. The first verse, I think... Let me see if I can remember. Da, 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 da. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. I think that's how it goes. And it goes, glory, glory, hallelujah. So I would change the refrain. So I'd go, glory, glory, Trump's our president. Glory, glory, we are so content. Glory, glory, let the wicked lament. His truth is heaven sent. Ba 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 bum. Okay. Just go for it, Arnie. I have seen him douse the watchfires of the gathering demon storm. He has builded God an altar in the midst of evil forms. He speaks his righteous sentence with a voice that must be heard. Our future is assured. Bum, ba, bum, ba, bum. Glory, glory, Trump's our president. Glory, glory, we are so content. Glory, glory, let the wicked lament, his truth is heaven sent. MAGA is the trumpet that shall never call retreat. We will fire the corrupt who sit upon the judgment seat. We shall send them off to Gitmo to feel the righteous heat and pay for their conceit. Blah, 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 blah. Glory, glory, Trump's our president. Sing with me. Glory, glory, we are so content. Glory, glory, let the wicked lament. His truth is heaven sent. And now the fourth verse, which Lorraine from New Jersey woke up before I sang this in her dream. So if you don't like this song, blame Lorraine. In the beauty of this great land, from sea to shining sea, there's a glory in the making for the brave and the free. We shall live with honor, for sovereign souls we be, and we shall never bend the knee. One more time. Glory, glory, Trump's our president. Glory, glory, we are so content. Glory, glory, let the wicked lament, his truth is heaven sent. Not bad for half a cocktail and a Wednesday afternoon. Lorraine from New Jersey, I think I'm going to work on that and record it and send it to you before it hits the airwaves. Thank you so much. How are we doing for time? We are good. Let's clear this fishbowl. That was fun. I enjoyed that. I'm sorry if you didn't. All right, here we go. What else do we have? This one's from Larissa, who is a nurse in Phoenix, Arizona. And she asks, Dear Ani, what are your views on Deepak Chopra? What are my views on Deepak Chopra? Do I have views on Deepak Chopra? Let me see if this drink will help me. I've actually never met him. I've seen a couple of his videos. I think I can remember a couple of his videos. But I have read some of his books, and I do like them. I like them well enough because, you know, all the truths, all the esoteric wisdom, it's all the same. It doesn't really matter what culture you come from. I mean, some cultures mess it up horribly, and some cultures strip it down. But it's all the same. You just have to find someone with whom you resonate. And I do recommend Chopra to newbies because he's easy to read. He does not take you down the long and winding road past the loop of eternal frustration and back, you know, before you figure something out. He's a good recommendation for those new to metaphysics. He's a medical doctor. So that shows in his sort of bedside manner, and it shows in his no-nonsense approach to metaphysics. I don't think this man could offend anyone. So that's my view. Again, you know, go to the library. Check these books out before you buy them. Please use your libraries. It's one of the last places left where you can go in and everything's free, you know, unless you return your book late. So let's do that. What else? Got a couple more. I'm going to push through these so that I can recite my poem to you. This is from Gary in Klamath Falls down in the southern part of Oregon, who says, Dear Ani, while I understand the concept of forgiveness being for my benefit, to give me peace of mind, there is one person I cannot forgive, and I do not know if I will ever get there. I hope to overcome this, and I would welcome any help that you offer. Gary, my love, if you understand the concept, but you are holding out against this one person, or should I say your ego is desperately holding on to this one person, it's because if you let go, your false ego will die. That's it. That's all of it. It's not you. It's your ego. Your ego does not want to die, so it will do anything to convince you not to practice radical forgiveness. You know, it doesn't matter what happened or who did what, really. The concept is the same. You deal with it the same way, and it gives us all the same level of peace and mind. So I say it's not you, it's your ego programming. So run a spiritual diagnostic, my love. Let go and get back on track. Don't overthink, because that gives the ego another chance at turning you into a victim. Claim your power as a sovereign soul. Get on with life. And whatever this person did, it's done. If you're still thinking about it, it's still being done. Don't bring it into the present. Leave it in the past. And, aha! Oh, not quite. Okay, two more. Two more. We're getting there, people. We're getting there. Hold on. Let's see. Who is this from? That might go on a bit. Let me take the last one first here. Dear Ani, do you think we will see public executions in the next 4 years? This is from Fernando of No Fixed Address. Fernando, if you are asking if the executions from Gitmo will be televised, I have no idea. Part of me says the American patriots deserve to see some public executions to have some closure. And the other part of me says, who exactly will they execute? Because here's the thing, I can't prove this. But a few of the really bad seeds have already been killed. And now what we have in this play, this surreal farce that is playing out in front of us today, we have an unholy assortment of subpar clones, doubles, and lots of clever CGI. How do you know if a clone is subpar? It doesn't have toenails, it doesn't have genitals, it doesn't have lots of things that you can't see. Don't go around pulling people's pants down if you suspect them of being a subpar clone, okay? But I'm just saying, that's how you can tell. You know, deep state propaganda has worked so well on humans. We now have to take the back roads to sanity and point everything out bit by bit. You know, we can't plug in the GPS and use the freeways. No, we have to hit every road that, you know, every rural road, country road, back road, explore every back alley for corrupt judges working for Soros and the globalists. And oh my God, you know, really, it's just madness. Public executions, do we want to see them though? Have you ever seen anyone being executed? I mean, okay. Some of you maybe have. You live in countries where you can see that or whatever. When you see things like that, it marks you. It marks you in ways that you can't really describe. And you're not as vengeful as you think you are. Let's remember, all of us, please. We're not looking for revenge. That would be silly and ego-driven, and then we would be as bad as anyone else. What we're looking for is justice. That's it, plain and simple. And the people who depopulated the planet, attempted to depopulate the planet, kill us all and turn us into slaves, are not good people. I have no problem executing them. I just don't want to jump up and down about it. We do it because dead people don't re-offend. And I think this will be the last one. Dear Ani, do you think that there will come a day when all the religions will agree on everything? No. No. Why would you even say that? Because they'll kill themselves. It's like the ego killing itself. Ooh, I don't exist anymore. I'm at peace and harmony. No. That's the nature of religion as practiced on planet Earth. It's a corporate ideology built on greed, love of power, and a lust for control. One day when the world chills out, perhaps, and is calm enough, mature enough to allow its madness to reflect inward, when mankind awakens from this gooey globalist dream of Luciferian mind control and sees the humiliation it allowed itself to endure, perhaps we can all agree on this one thing. If religion ever was supposed to be a force for good, it failed miserably. Let us form a personal relationship with all that is. That's it. And that's everything from Quack today. And I really appreciate all you guys writing in. Please do write in, because, you know, you are the reason. You are the reason that we have this show, to find out what is on the minds of we, the people. And now, before we do run out of time, I don't want that to happen. By popular request, I have been asked to recite one of my original poems, a rather long one, and it's called The Tale of Dinty Moore, A Prepper's Tale of Woe. I hope you enjoy it. This was inspired by my taking advice from preppers who I can only describe as long-haired, smelly dudes in bunkers eating spam and counting their poorly crimped reloads. Lovely people, salt of the earth, but if you are going to prep, and everyone should prep, do prep for your circumstances. Don't assume that these ex-veterans are the best preppers. They prep for themselves, and they live on spam and baked beans. If you have a family, don't go there. Here's my little poem for you people. The Tale of Dinty Moore, A Prepper's Tale of Woe. It was a dark and stormy night in my corner of the Pacific Northwest. I had a craving for filet mignon, but my budget was sorely stretched. My brain was unfocused from rices, pulses, and grains. I needed meat, real protein, to restore vigor to my veins. I paced the corridor back and forth, evangelizing like a modern-day Elmer Gantry, when it suddenly hit me square on the nose. Why not check out your prepper's pantry? Excuse me, a craving is not an emergency, my inner voice dared to suggest. But my health warrants a sense of urgency. I can't function when depressed or distressed. And so I set off to my prepperty room, filled to the brim come the day of deep doom. Stocked to the gills should life become harder, I can always take refuge in my doomsday larder. Such a variety, it makes my heart tingle. I have real food, but I also have Pringles. Shelf, stable staples, not easy to say, and condiment combos to keep the dreaded food fatigue at bay. I have tinned fruit aplenty and tinned veggies galore, 8 types of ramen, though God knows what for. Sacks of good flour, more than I'll need. Oh, look, I just found 3 bags of really good weed, woohoo! I compliment myself on my choices and variety. When the shit hits the fan, there will be no anxiety. I have white beans and red beans and baked beans and pintos. Brown favas from Egypt, not so good on the nose. Coffee and tea and milk that's condensed. A good start to the morning, it's just common sense. With household supplies, I'm embarrassed to say, I could clean the whole block for 1,000 days. I have oils and acids and lots of good soup. I even have tins of husks that will help you to poop. But searching for meat was my mission that day. The craving for steak that won't go away. There, in the corner, behind dehydrated and raw, I spied a box labeled Meat Assorted Dinty Moore. Knowing the strangeness of certain parts of our nation, I approached this book with great trepidation. Of packing this box, I have no recollection. Is it an illusion, like Brandon winning the election? But meat was my aim, meat was my goal. I didn't need much, just a small bowl. So box cutter in hand, worth 2 in the shrubbery, I set out to rescue my taste buds from the doldrums and drudgery. I read beef stew with no added preservatives. The label was bold, bright, like me, yet conservative. How bad can it be? I made self-inquiry. I should try a small bowl before its expiry. Look, there's carrots and spuds and gravy in abundance, but opening the can made my high hopes redundant. I confess, I admit, expectations were not high, but my, oh my, Oh my, oh my, oh my. Perhaps I am spoiled, for I like my meat fresh, but something about this gave me goose flesh. The packaging portrayed something vaguely appealing, but the contents, oof, they gave me uneasy feelings. Perhaps it gets better if I warm it through. Perhaps it won't look and smell quite like poo, and I could add hot sauce to give it a zip. Come on, Arnie, be brave, stiff up a lip. I warmed it up good, tossed in Frank's Red Hot. If I really need meat, this should hit the spot. And the spot, it was hit as I choked, puked, and spit. I am hardly a wimp, but I know when to quit. Let me share with you all, this is not something edible. And if you enjoy it, your taste buds are not credible. If I were to die before ever again consuming this part of my property, I will give thanks to God and call it blessed serendipity. The lesson for all to be learned well this day is to taste all the food you have squirreled away. Should the day ever come when this is the last food left in the nation, Dinty, my darling, I will open the hatch and happily expose myself to the radiation. And yes, I know the box was labeled assorted, but plans for further exploration have been aborted. I love that poem. I wrote it, so it's good, and I really enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed it too. Sweethearts, my darlings, I think it is time to say goodbye. We are getting close to the end of the show, and I want to thank everybody for listening in. I want to thank everybody for writing in. Gosh, this is the time of the week I really look forward to. So thank you, Martini Heads. And now, darlings, I have not finished my drink, but I'm going to tell you what it is. I decided today to make a rum Manhattan, and this is how you do it. 2 ounces of dark rum, 2 dashes of Angostura bitters, 1 ounce of sweet vermouth, shaky, 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 strain and pour, maraschino cherry for garnish, not the cheap one, the expensive one. And then I added some club soda because I don't want to get drunk and I don't want to get fat. Remember, folks, cocktails are great if they are an occasional treat. If you use top shelf ingredients and take the art of mixology seriously, one drink is all you need. I'm Arnie, mad as the day is long, Avedisian. This was Metaphysical Martini, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio, to whom we are most grateful. Mwah, 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 mwah. Until we meet again, my darlings, do whatever you need to do to stay sane. Kick the man in the nuts and let the spirit inhabit the human.
You have been listening to The Metaphysical Martini with Ani Apodisian, the Mad Shaman, a production of CosmicReality.com.